Testing. Welcome, everybody. Hi. Welcome to Culinaires Radio. Hold on, don't jump the gun. Let me do my opening salvo. This is Duncan, otherwise known as Marco Pollo, and this is Culinaires Radio. What is Culinaires Radio, and who are the Culinaires? Well, we're going to talk about that for the next hour. But this is our show, and this is the first night, and this is a safe space to talk about food, as well as to use food as a lens to talk about other topics, whether that's identity, politics, race, gender.
When do we get to talk?
In about 15 minutes. Everybody just sit tight. Because you know, this is a big week in politics. Got a big election on Tuesday. And it got me thinking about something I read. What's the first thing a politician does when he arrives in a new town? He has a photo op eating the local food, whether that's corn dogs or apple pie or cheesesteak or chowder or fried chicken. Food is really the quickest shorthand we have to connect with one another. And the Culinaires are all about connecting, and tonight we're going to do some connecting right here in the studio in Chinatown, here on Kaechung. And a few of the Culinaires are globetrotting on culinary adventures right now, so it's just Veal Parmstrong, Franklin Hardy, and I.
Do I talk on that, or?
Hop right in.
Well, I was going to say I'm Veal Parmstrong, and that my real name is Franklin Hardy, but you've done that for me.
I just want to make everything run smoothly.
How are my levels?
Our levels, I hadn't checked, are okay, not great. I'm going to just tune us up.
That was a very nice salvo.
I just wanted to. And good now job. I think we are checking a little better. Let's just check with our producer and see if we can get a signal from her. And we are good to go, I think.
She's not even looking at us.
Let's just get some eyes on us, maybe, and then we can figure out if we are good to go. Franklin, what do you think? How are our levels? I mean, they're back and forth.
I think they're great. I think you could go up a little bit, maybe.
Okay. This is Pirate Radio, guys, and that's what it's all about. All right, we've got a couple guests today. Our special guest is Heather Platt, and Heather Platt's an amazing food writer, and she has a very special relationship with the Culinaires that we're going to get into very soon. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Duncan.
Heather, what's your Culinaires nickname?
Salad Ride. There were a few other tossed around.
Salad Ride's beautiful. If you haven't been able to tell already, the Culinaires' nicknames, nom de plumes, are a explorer's name mixed with a food. Did I already say I'm Marco Pollo? After midnight, I turn into Marco Pollo Loco. So luckily, the show only goes to 11. Our October surprise guest is Brenda, and I've known her for years. I've called her Hazoo for the past 8 or 9 years, and I just learned you pronounce her name Brenda Shea.
Yeah.
So welcome, Brenda Shea.
Hi. It's a very hard-to-spell name. It's H-S-U-E-H, but it's pronounced Shea, like Shea Stadium.
Brenda, what is your Culinaires nickname?
I don't have one yet. I'm working on it.
I think by the end of this show, you should have one.
Yes, I will take in any suggestions.
The Culinaires are very good at coming up with them.
I'm not a pun person. I'm not great at wordplay, so I'm open.
I feel like to call it a pun is demeaning it almost a little bit.
What?
Yeah.
It is, though.
It's more than that.
Yeah. It's an essence.
Yeah. It's an attitude.
It's a lifestyle.
And Brenda's written on just about every hit show you might know from the last few years, but we're going to talk about all of that later. Right now, we're all feeling a little food coma-y. We just went to dinner. What would you guys rate that meal?
I'd give it a pretty solid... I give it a B+.
I give it a B.
Wow.
But I'm harsh.
Wow.
I give it a B+.
I thought the...
Well, let's set the table. Where did you find this place? This was a Veal Parmstrong pick.
You know, I was looking for sundae, which is Korean blood sausage. I've never had it before. I've had other kinds of blood sausage, but not Korean blood sausage. And there's a place called 8th Street Sundae that I think is fairly well known that was closed tonight. So I dug deep on the old web using some resources that I can't really divulge. A little website called Yelp. You may have heard of it.
He crowdsourced it.
And this place came up as a comparable and maybe even better sundae than 8th Street called Zhang Tao Bosom. Jang Tae-ho Bosom.
I agree. I thought it was great. I had had a pick that I'd researched, a little hipper, maybe a little more fancy.
What was that?
That was right across the street at the Far East Plaza, Lhasa. Is that how you pronounce it?
Lhasa.
Lhasa, some people call it, in Unit 182.
Why didn't we go there?
We didn't go there because you protested and didn't think it was kind of down and dirty, gritty enough, didn't think it was on brand. I didn't realize we were having a full Culinaire's dinner. I thought we were just having a drink and maybe an app to talk about the show. But I was wrong. It was better to have a big dinner, even if I am a little sweaty and a little tired right now.
I feel like part of the philosophy of Culinaire's is that you are getting out of your comfort zone food-wise, which means you're going to places that are not the kind of place you might take a first date, that are maybe not even catering to your specific demographic.
I thought it was great. I'm actually really curious, Brenda, why you thought it was a B.
Oh, I'm just really harsh. I just like to give everyone room to improve.
You've had better blood sausage than that?
I did go to the 8th Street, and it was very good. I mean, I will say this, and I don't even know if this is... Did you feel like the temperature of the food... I don't know. Was it supposed to be all room temperature? I guess it was. Correct?
I noticed that. That was interesting. I was thinking something was going to come out that was sizzling, and it came out as very... It wasn't sizzling at all. It was
very tepid. But no, maybe that's... Maybe that is how it's supposed to be served, but I don't... When I had blood sausage at the other place, it was warmer.
Did it gross you out?
Did not gross me out.
Okay.
I gave it a B. That is not a gross out.
This is a very... what's the word? Not amateurish, but not a very interesting critique. But to me, it was a little bit salty.
Interesting.
It was very salty. I'll say it was very salty.
You did not need the extra salt that was actually recommended.
I put that salt on, and that was insane. Because then I put the sauce on, and then I put the salt on, which she said, and then I tasted the salt by itself, and the sauce by itself, and it was pure salt.
Yeah.
It was a salt sauce with salt that I put on top of it. And the meat was very salty.
The meat was
very
salt.
Salty. I'd also say it was very moist.
It was moist, but that's okay.
That's all right. I had a long conversation with someone yesterday. I'm buying a humidifier for my dog, and they used the word moist, and then they also apologized before saying it. And so now I'm very cognizant of when I use it.
People don't like that word.
I've heard that, but I really enjoy it.
In the context of describing a cake, it's okay.
Yeah. And the blood sausage, to me, I expected it to be drier. I think British blood sausage that I've had before has been a little dry, and that I thought was, this was melt in your mouth.
Why do you think your dog needs a humidifier?
He has bronchitis.
Okay.
So that was the recommendation from my veterinarian. So now I have a nice, big, sexy humidifier in my bedroom for my poodle.
When I had Morticia, Argentine blood sausage, it tasted like blood. I mean, it tasted like metallic.
Like it was a stronger blood flavor.
It tasted like when you bite your lip and then you taste blood in your mouth. This was delicious, but it was not very much of a blood flavor.
I feel like because the Korean blood sausage, and I think this is unique to Korean, it has that has the noodle in it, or that carb to cut it, so it's not full on so meaty.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sort of dilutes that flavor that you're talking about.
Right.
My theory.
So there are a few culinaries that aren't here tonight.
Yes.
So we're gonna do a call in to our man in the field, Beef Erickson.
And where is he?
Well, I don't know if I should tell you where he is, or if we should just let him say where he is.
Oh, this is not, that's not Beef Erickson. Beef Erickson is Lane Needler. This is our fourth main culinaire, Shane Kosakowski, whose code name is...
America Fresh Sushi, right?
No. His code name is, what is it?
Prawns de Leon?
Prawns de Leon.
Okay. I'm not very good with names. So let me give Shane a call, and he's going to give us a little infield field review out in the field.
It's very exciting.
Is it picking up on there?
Hello.
Is this Americo? Oh, right. Oh, God. You just had 30 seconds about what your name is again. Anyway, you're on Culinaire's Radio. You're with Veal and Marco, Heather, and
Hi there,
Brenda.
Franz.
We just had a delicious dinner. We want to find out where you are and what you've been eating.
Aloha, first of all. I'm in beautiful Waikiki, which is in, it's one of the islands. It's one of the big ones. I want to say Oahu. And it's gorgeous here. It's beautiful. I wish you were all here. How's it going out there?
I think we're nailing the show.
Now, Shane, Shane, were you listening before we called you?
No, I wasn't. Should I have been?
Well, as a fan, I thought you might have been.
Well, this is a military radio station, right? We get that in Hawaii.
It would have given you a little context of what we're talking about, but that's all right. We can just jump in both feet. How long have you been there, and what's been the best meal so far?
I'll do the interviewing. Here's what's going on. I've had a carafe of blue drink in the past 20 minutes waiting for you guys to call. My hands are sticky, and I have a bunch of durian and pig intestines I've been waiting to eat, but they've been sitting on a table out here in the sun, so they're warm.
And what is durian?
Durian, I'm told, is... babe, what's durian?
It's a spiky tropical fruit that stinks.
What is it?
It's a spiky...
It's something like an Asian fruit or something.
That's Brenda Shea right now, who just came at you from the guest mic.
Oh, hello!
Yeah, I'm a resident
party
Asian.
What's going on there?
Yeah.
That's great!
Mm-hmm.
We might need to wrap this call up pretty soon there, Shane.
Okay, listen, I'm gonna start eating this thing. Do you want to hear about it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. My assistant is unwrapping it for me. Well, it looks like pizza dough, but it smells like, it smells like a sweet foot. Like, it doesn't, it's not totally displeasing, but it's, it doesn't smell like you want to eat it.
Could that possibly be your fingers that you're smelling?
No, my fingers smell very good. It's all the way up to my wrist. I was the Raiders once, I had a bunch of blue drink. So when you put your fork into it, the fork feel is very stretchy. Is that a food term?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm pulling at it now. It looks like a crushed up banana a little bit.
All right, let's get it in the mouth.
It smells really, really, it doesn't smell rancid, but it smells, apparently you only have 15 minutes to eat it. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
you can only eat it 15 minutes after opening it, so we just pulled it out.
All right, well, let's take a big bite, and then we're going to move on. Oh, great, we're looking at a picture of it. Heather just brought up a picture of the food.
Look at that.
Oh, right. Oh, that's great.
And I'm going to post some pictures on the Culinaire's Instagram and Twitter of what Shane's talking about in just a minute.
Okay, I'll have my assistant take a picture too. Ready? Got the consistency of baby food. It's actually not bad. It's got a little bit of sweetness. I got a picture right here.
What's the mouthfeel?
That'll be good for rating. The mouthfeel, I give, it's smooth. It's a definite smooth velvety.
Okay.
Mouthfeel.
All right, I think that was good. I think this was a successful call. Our man in the field, Shane in Hawaii.
I had a bunch of stuff to talk about. I had a bunch of election stuff.
We actually already covered the election in my opening salvo. If you listened to it, you would have.
I got a ukulele. I learned a couple things. All right. Are we good? How many minutes do I have?
I'm going to put you on mute, and we might check in with you towards the end of the show.
Okay, well, here's my quick thoughts on Trump.
The thing about durian is actually in Singapore, you're not allowed. It's so stinky, you're not allowed to eat it on public transportation or anything like that, or buses or trains or subways.
I've heard of hotels
like
banning it.
Because it's got a very, very, very potent, rancid-y smell, but it actually tastes good. It's sweet, but it does have a kind of a gross smell, and it's an acquired taste. But.
All right, I just got our first fan tweet to our account at Culinaires, at The Culinaires, and I got to say, it's not completely positive. If you watch Portlandia, you'd know what a durian is. So disappointed. So disappointed.
See?
Okay.
We did know what it was.
And who said that?
That was...
We even knew trivia about it.
All right, so let's move on to our next segment, where Veal and I have both brought special snacks to the show. I think we're going to break them out right now for our guests.
Yes. All right. So I went to the Filipino market down the street from my house in, well, it's in Glendale, before I came here, and I just walked through the aisles and grabbed a bunch of stuff. And I don't know what most of it is. I think I'll just reach in and we'll see what we get.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right, guys. Why don't I just pull out...
And as Franklin's pulling out his snacks, I'll just tell you guys, I stopped by. It's nothing too crazy, but I've always wanted to try Jollibee.
Oh, Filipino also. Isn't that Filipino also?
It's Filipino also. What are the odds that we both would have gotten Filipino food?
I love things like chicken yum joy.
So it's Filipino fast food. And I got a chicken sandwich. I got a Spam sandwich.
Did you get spaghetti? Because I know they have like pasta.
I didn't get their spaghetti, but I did get what I heard was their signature dish, palabok, which is a noodle dish with a sauce and some little shrimp in it.
Nice.
And there might be some other treats in there as well. Some apple pies, peach pies.
Ooh.
So it's been sitting in my car for a few hours, but I think it's ready to go.
Oh, how many hours?
What time was 6 o'clock? With the time change.
4.5 hours here. Yeah.
But was the pie like an apple pie from McDonald's, like that kind of thing? Like
it's a peach pie, and it looks like the same shape as a McDonald's pie.
Right.
I just kept it wrapped up.
Like
I didn't want to look at it too much.
Right, like a pastry pocket. Yeah.
So we're gonna break those out, and then I think we're gonna get into some questions in a segment we call Hot Seat for our guests.
Okay, what's this first snack, Franklin?
Okay, this first snack is called fish crackers.
Regular.
The flavor is regular. And it says also, it looks like it says Pirate's Day Poison.
Yeah, Pirate Poison.
Pirate Poison. Okay.
It's like Pirate Booty.
And then it says underneath, it says Native Delights.
Mm-hmm. No, Pirate's de Poisson. So like fish?
Pirate's de Poisson.
Mm-hmm.
Poisson is French for fish.
Fish.
Very nice. The girl at the cash register, this was one of the things she was most impressed with in my cart.
That you bought this?
Yes.
Awesome.
She singled this out and said, this is really good and very authentic Filipino.
It looks like a...
Duncan, why don't you...
And where was this market?
This market is right at Colorado Boulevard and the 2. And there's a shopping mall there that has a bit of a Filipino flair, and they have a Filipino food court, and they have a Filipino market, and they have a Target.
All right,
looks a little bit like a cheese doodle.
Yeah.
We'll tweet that out later for you guys that want to go there.
Yeah, it's a crunchy, beige, crispy little snack.
It tastes pretty basic to me.
Let's all eat at the same time.
Mm. Okay.
It's definitely got the crisp.
It's not super fishy.
No, I'm not getting fish.
No fish.
I'm getting more salt, honestly. I may be very sensitive
very
to salt.
Sensitive to salt today.
No, salt's good for you. It's a little styrofoamy.
It's a little dusty.
To me, the thing about this though is, you could eat a bag of these quite easily, because it's not overwhelming.
Yeah, but really, there's nothing fishy about it. I feel like that is kind of a misnomer.
I feel like if you were drinking beer, this would be a great snack.
Which we happen to be.
We happen to be drinking some Filipino beer. Red Horse, which is, I think, under the San Miguel banner. The cashier girl was also impressed by this beer.
What was she not impressed by?
Maybe she just liked you.
I'll just break out one more thing. I was in a produce section, and I found some fruit, and I didn't recognize this fruit, and so I picked it up, and I went over to a guy, and I said, "What is this?" And he didn't speak great English, and I thought he said, "It's waba." And I said, "Waba," and I said, "Is it good?" And he said, "Yes, you should get it." I said, "Okay." And then I, do you know what this is?
Is it a guava? It's a guava.
And then I got to the cash register and I asked the girl, because she spoke very good English, what is this? And she looked at me and she was like, it's a guava. And I was like, oh. She was like, have you never had guava? And I actually don't think I've ever had like a raw, like a a straight up guava before.
Yeah. I actually planted
some guava.
I planted a guava tree in my yard because I was like, if I'm going to have trees, I want them to earn their keep and be high value crops, like not just like an apple or like an orange. So it's like I planted a guava tree, fig tree, avocado tree. I'm like, we gotta get some cash crops here. And the guavas are great.
Do you have time to harvest them?
Oh, I have time to harvest them, but it's just like the harvest is very small. It's like maybe like 10 fruits. You know, it's not a lot.
Brenda, something else I learned about you tonight besides how to say your name.
Yeah.
You're a bit of a cook.
Oh, yeah.
How long have you been a cook?
This is the thing about my cooking. It's not about the journey. It's about the end goal. And so I only cook things that are easy to cook. Because it's like, if it's going to be difficult, I'm going to outsource that. So I don't mind it, but I'm not going to, I don't love it so much that I want to do it all day.
Brenda showed us a picture earlier of her pig's feet soup, and it inspired me to maybe recreate that sometime.
It was pretty good. We actually had pig's feet today. That was part of our potpourri of foods we had at, what was the name of the Korean place?
Jangtaebasam.
Yeah, we had pig's feet. We got some tripe in there. We had some liver, I'm pretty sure. And we had some pork belly. And then we had the blood sausage.
Yeah, I'd say that was my favorite blood sausage and by far my favorite pig's feet. We've done our share of pig's feet in the Culinaires.
Okay.
Pig's feet was very tender.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was a good ratio of meat to cartilage and fat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because you don't want it too much cartilage.
Yeah.
Totally. Or do you? Some people do.
It's funny because, like, as Chinese people, we love chicken feet also, which is, like, basically kind of like our chicken wings. You know, chicken wings is a very high skin to meat ratio, and it's, like, chicken feet is even higher level of surface area skin.
Is it the texture or the flavor?
Whether it's chicken feet or chicken wings, it's the skin that you want. I think it's the texture that people are digging.
Speaking of which.
Do you have some kind of feet?
I brought some chicken skin.
Oh, nice. It's like chicken cracklin.
Chicken cracklin, and nothing very exotic about this, and I almost passed it by because I didn't think it was really up to snuff, but then I thought, it's fried chicken skin, I just want it in general.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I just got it.
As Franklin breaks out the chicken skin, let's rewind a little bit. Set the table, so to speak, for the show.
Pun intended.
Mm-hmm. Always pun intended on the show. Heather, let me ask you, you've chronicled the Culinaires quite a bit. You've been the Tom Wolfe to our Mary Brand of pranksters.
Well, who is Heather? And maybe she needs to give a little background as to her credentials.
Right, I was going to get into that. I'm leading into that slow.
Kind of a backwards.
You can jump in whenever. So why don't you tell us a little bit, first of all, where you were when you first heard about the Culinaires and how you ended up writing about the Culinaires. Then we're going to backtrack to Franklin's question.
I met Franklin, a.k.a. Veal Parmstrong, through his wife, and he told me about his adventure eating club, and I still freelance for local newspapers and pitched the story to LA Weekly, and I knew that it would probably be a good fit, and so I went out with them. And we had an epic night out in Koreatown. And, you know, you hear writers sometimes say that stories write themselves. Well, this is a group of comedy writers who also know a lot about what they're eating and are very excited about it. So I would say that story kind of wrote itself. And it was a blast. And it kind of has opened up some doors for you, including this radio show.
It really has. It landed us this radio show. And what was the reaction to the Culinaires piece? A year and a half ago?
You probably got more reaction to it than I did.
Okay.
But I think in general, it was interesting. I think that because that particular meal, we binged on live octopus. There was a mixed response, which was some people were really offended that people would eat a live animal.
Yeah.
And then
why don't you pause for a second and just tell us about the live octopus and what it was like?
Yeah, I want to know. Did it like was it hard to get down your throat? Like, was it trying to fight you?
Well, so we didn't eat a whole baby octopus, which I've heard can like actually kill you. But this was a restaurant in Koreatown where the chef pulled the mollusk out of the tank and kind of waved it around, and it was clinging to his arm, and it was very theatrical. And at this point, we were all very drunk and kind of cheering. And then he just took a knife to it and chopped it up and put it in front of us, and it was still wiggling. And we ate it.
And so I no sauce, just
oh, there was sauce. There was sort of a sriracha-like sauce that we dipped in. Like it was very delicious.
There was like a sesame oil. With salt.
Was it too salty? I was going to ask you if it was too salty, Frank.
There was also that red sauce. Do you remember?
Right.
It was magic.
Yes. Well, the taste of the octopus was very bland.
Yeah, very.
It didn't have, I mean, it had a texture and it had a movement, but then the sauce was what gave it the flavor.
Okay, right. Was there any suction? Did you...
So that was the thing. Like, you put it in your mouth and it's still moving. And I did have a moment of, if I don't swallow this motherfucker, it's going to eat me from the inside out.
Yeah, it was man versus nature.
Yeah, and so I just remember like chomping it like I was fighting the thing. Like I was like, I gotta chew this thing quickly before it like chews me back.
It would when you bite it, it stops. But if you put it on your tongue and just let it sit there,
it will suction.
100%, you will feel it grabbing your tongue.
Oh my gosh.
And so, this was at Hual Un Quanjang.
Yeah, so just, they were lovely, lovely people. I mean, they loved having us there, and they were very welcoming to us, and it was a delicious meal. But the response was half the people who read the story were horrified and that we would be so cruel to animals, and the other half of people who had a problem with the piece were offended that we were sort of fetishizing something that was normal in their culture.
Got it.
So,
which I don't know if I would necessarily think is fair. I think the first time you do anything,
it's exotic to you.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think Heather says that this article wrote herself, but she's not giving herself any credit. She really took a hodgepodge and messy group of men and really streamlined this into a really fun article.
Yes.
I felt like when I read your article the next day that I was really sucked into the story of a night that it didn't even seem like I was there.
In fact, I don't think you remembered.
Yeah, the culinaries made a lot more sense once we were put into context. And
what's going on here?
Just as we're chatting, I'm opening up the first of the Jollibee snacks. This is their fried chicken sandwich. Brenda, I know you've got a soft spot for fried chicken.
Duncan, I got to be honest with you. I don't have a problem with fast food. I enjoy it, but 5 hours old?
It might be less. It might be less. I did.
I'm sure it's fine. Okay. It's like, you know, it's autumnal weather.
Brenda's excited.
But I interrupted. We were talking about who your favorite culinaire is.
Oh, definitely Beef Erickson.
And which one is he again?
Beef Erickson is Lane Needler. And you know what? He has the best name because he looks like a Viking. He has a giant red beard. And he's loud and boisterous. And I wouldn't put raping and pillaging past him.
Oh.
And his name is Beef Erickson.
Well, I have to admit, the fact that you guys are actually pairing your culinaire's name with your real name, is putting it out there that the story, because, you know, not all of them have been linked in the stories I've written. So now all of that is going to be published.
This chicken yum joy, which is what this fried chicken sandwich is very...
Brenda's telling me to eat it. So I'm going to take a bite of this cold sandwich.
It's not too exciting. It's basically a fried chicken patty sandwich that doesn't have any other flavor beyond that.
All right, Brenda, I'm going to pass you over the spam sandwich.
He's like McDonald's to me.
Okay, I'm not getting a great reaction from Jollibee's, but I'm starting with the least exotic.
It brings me back to being like 10 years old.
Let me just, while we're munching, we have a question from a listener.
Oh, great.
That's come in through our vast social media presence.
I can totally see LA people being outraged by eating live octopus. I'm surprised there's not a proposition on the ballot now for like making that illegal.
I don't understand if going there to eat live octopus is fetishizing the culture, what is not going there to eat live octopus?
That argument, I feel, is even weirder. Like, I can see more, like, hippies being like, ooh, that's like having it, like, you can't eat live octopus, but the fetish side, I'm like, well, what, you're just trying something new for the first time.
Safer just to stick to cheeseburgers and french fries,
I like the spam,
than fetishize another culture.
Right. Oh, the spam sandwich at Jollibee is not too shabby, guys.
I like the spam sandwich.
And now I'm going to pass over the most exotic of the Jollibee snacks. This is the palabak, which is the noodle dish.
Also, Jollibee is also a Filipino fast food.
I don't mean to burst your bubble, but I do think Anthony Bourdain went to Jollibee on an episode already.
I realize Anthony Bourdain, but if we didn't go to all the places that Anthony Bourdain's already like burned, we would have a very small list.
This is interesting. There's like a hard boiled egg sliced on it. There's some shrimp and this noodle dish.
I'm gonna take a video of this because I mean.
I think Anthony Bourdain gave it kind of short shrift. He was very into the desserts on his show when they went there. He was doing the shaved ice thing. I didn't think he'd get into the real stuff.
Well, we can also go and not simultaneously be wannabe Jack Kerouac's.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I'm just teasing. No, it's cool. I've actually never tried it, so it's good.
I'm going
to
try it.
Now, I talk to a lot of people who want to get into food writing.
I do.
I think everyone thinks they can be a food like critic now.
I agree. I feel like writing about food is like the new writing the great American novel. Everybody wants to write about food.
Well, I think you just said that everyone wants to be a food critic, Brenda, and I think everyone is a food critic.
Oh, so you're okay with it? Because I know a lot of professional food like critics are like mad about this whole Yelp thing, and like everyone has starting a food blog, and like everyone thinking that they can be a critic.
Well, at the end of the day, they're going to decide what they eat. So, I mean, if they have a strong opinion about it, good for them. I actually think that writing things that other people might reference is way more stressful. I mean, I do think Yelp is tricky. And actually, my husband and I kind of have a joke where if he picks a restaurant and I ask him where he found it, and he says Yelp, it's like, we're definitely not going there, and I've had to reiterate that that's not a source for anything, but
how often does it work? How often does your husband pick as opposed to you pick?
Not so much anymore. Okay. It's absolutely a privilege, but it's kind of a scary privilege when you think about telling people where to go, where to spend their money.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure.
I'm not actually a food critic. I'm just a food writer.
Right.
So I don't have that pressure. But people do ask me a lot. I was telling you earlier tonight that I get random text messages from people all the time asking me where they should take their grandma for a birthday and where they should go for a bridal shower brunch. And
And do you answer them or do you say read my work?
Sometimes I send them links to
stuff.
No
freebies.
I like send them an invoice after.
Mm-hmm. And now what about for people that say, I want to get into, you must have people say, I want to get into food writing.
Everyone can write, just it's called a blog.
Yeah, but some people want to get into food writing and I'm sure they want to freelance places and pitch articles and
how did you get into it?
That's what I was working my way into that area.
I say blog because that's how I got into it. I worked at a restaurant that really inspired me and became so literally hungry for the food that I would cook it when I got home and started blogging about it and just became really obsessed. And then that sort of led to doing it. I mean, I sort of have this theory that if you want to do something, you kind of just have to do it without getting paid for it first. And then usually people see that and then it leads to a job at some point. But I would just, you know, people can blind pitch. They could pitch to editors, find an email and send an idea if they have an idea for a story.
Okay, and feel free to plug. Let's say someone's going to get online. They want to get to the bottom of Heather Platt. Where would they go?
The bottom of me?
Yeah.
Well, my Instagram is Heather A. Platt. You could direct message me.
Oh.
Anytime.
Okay.
By the way, this is actually pretty good. What is this called?
I think it's called the palabak?
The palabak at Jollibee is a pasta dish with like... did you try this? It's actually pretty good.
She looks like she vomit.
She can't. It doesn't look good. It does not look good.
Well, I actually did peek in that one when I first got it. It looked a lot better a couple hours ago.
I think it's actually quite tasty, but you're right. It's not the most aesthetically pleasing
but
situation.
I heard that was the signature dish, and I'll pass over the peach pies.
I've eaten more pig's feet tonight than I have in my entire life, so sorry, Duncan, that I'm not so hungry for the Jollibee right
That's
now.
That's all right. Veal Parmesan's going to dig in. Brenda, your turn on the hot seat. Brenda, what are you working on right now?
I'm a comedy writer, and I'm working on a new comedy show for Netflix, and it's not on yet. It'll be
Ooh,
on
Netflix.
Netflix, guys. It's the future. So next year it'll be out. It's a workplace comedy set at a pot dispensary. And it's called Disjointed, and Kathy Bates is the star, and it's good. I think it's going to be pretty good, guys. And we were just talking that there's going to be this all this pot, like, food stuff that's going on right now.
I did just read this pot article that happened to be written by our other guest.
I have a take on pot
edibles. Hot take.
And a little bit of advice. Don't do them. Don't eat them.
Because it's hard to titrate, right? You get too high, right? Is that the problem?
There's no amount that's not way too much.
Well, medicinal marijuana in general has gotten so strong. Like, I think people, it's like a very powerful thing.
I was recently at a thing called Old Chela. I don't know if you know what that is.
Yeah,
desert trip.
And my wife and I had each a tiny piece of a cookie, like a size of a dime. And an hour later, we were having panic attacks for the next 7 hours.
Yeah. The last time I had an edible, I thought my husband was a robot.
She thought that I was dead. No, sorry. She thought that she was dead and that I was part of her imagination.
That's what happened to me. I thought I was dead. Yeah. It's the worst.
Hey, guys, we do have a question from a listener that we should address.
Oh, great.
And I should say that if people have questions or comments, they can send them to @Cullineers on Twitter or Instagram. But this listener...
No Snapchat.
This listener just wants to know, what was our favorite Cullineers meal so far and why?
Oh, good question.
God. Oh, my God. So many. So many.
This comes from AJ Ranella, by the way.
Never heard of him.
You know when you get questions that aren't really questions? That's a legit question.
Duncan, you want to go first?
Sure. Jeez, I'm trying to think. It's funny. We drove by Gulagatz on the way here, and I've got to say, that was a meal that I picked that didn't quite hit the mark. So that wasn't my favorite.
In terms of deliciousness or adventurousness?
I thought it was adventurous enough. It was right on the border, but I
well, what was
twice.
It? Tell them what it was.
Gulagatz, to me, the meat was a little...
I think it's actually Gulagatz.
Oh, Gulagatz? Did I just say it right?
Gulagatz.
It's
It was a little dry, and I'm also not sure I'm Mr. Mole. And that might be the issue.
Well, what was the main event there?
The meats were we did crickets. We did the cricket margaritas, some cricket salsa. You know, we did some
and the mole.
Platters.
That's what they're known for.
But this is that we're talking about the favorite. I think Jai Boudou. Mm-hmm.
Jai Boudou
was fantastic. I could do. That
it's
was. I feel
seafood
like
seafood barbecue, right?
Seafood barbecue. Yeah. You'll get little holes in your shirt as you're throwing down the shellfish onto the grill. I feel like that was where Cullineers really, just from the embers flying up from the grill.
This is Korean.
Yes. I feel like that's where
the fun part of that is you put the half shell of the abalone or whatever it is on the grill and they just move. And I don't think it's because maybe they're alive, but I think that it's also the heat is.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Thermodynamics.
But it's a bit of a show.
Yeah. It's a dinner and a show.
And then I think that the dinner we referenced, where Heather came along, we went to Hual Un Kwanjang. I think we had drinks at my place first, and then we had a nice kind of by-foot journey through K-Town, went to Hank and Frank's, went to a pizza place with a Korean cover band playing. Then we took an Uber to Ruin Pear.
Neon Lights, and they had a sign hanging behind them that said Neon Lights.
Oh, good memory.
Heather, you've been on a couple. What was a standout to you?
What was the intestines place called again?
Gail Gobchan.
Right. I thought that was good. I think the first night was really great.
I think that was curated by Marco Pollo, if I remember correctly.
I liked the balut that we had in Santa Ana.
The Balut that we had in Santa Ana was probably the biggest night of all, the most exciting night. I once was lucky enough to meet, I was going to save this story for our second episode, but I'll tease it on this one. Oh. Was once lucky enough to have lunch with Jonathan Gold, and I was a little nervous. And I mentioned that I'd just been down in Garden Grove eating Balut.
And tell our listeners what Balut is.
Balut is a duck embryo dish.
It's a fertilized duck egg. Is it Vietnamese? I think it's Vietnamese.
Yes.
It's eating a tiny duck.
It's called Café Artistes in Little Saigon. And it was a big journey. But we had a lot of things there. We had crocodile. We had pig's feet. But anyway, I mentioned Jonathan Gold. We had Balut. And I can milk this story for a few episodes. But yeah, this was the moment where he looked at me and he said, I'm not into stunt eating.
It's like being a prop comic.
Yes.
Well, he's got a bit of an attitude. I think he senses that his time is coming to an end and the Culinaries' time is coming to a beginning.
Speaking of competition, we're on head-to-head with our good friend Dan Wilcox on KCRW. Dan, I'm sorry that your radio Nielsens are probably going through the toilet right now. But good luck to you. What was your favorite Culinaries' night?
Well, I was saying, I think that the Balut, I mean, the...
Leading me to the answer you wanted me to give.
No,
he incepted you.
I think I was just trying to answer the question, and then you started talking about Jonathan Gold, and we were all a little confused.
You know, another funny thing about Jonathan is when we go out to dinner, he also stumped me. He asked me what my favorite X album was. And I like X, but I guess I'm just not that schooled in it. And
they're all good. You can pick
I floundered. I picked the second, and then I felt like I got judged again.
I have a question actually about your Balut experience. Did you eat it all in one bite? Do you have to chew it?
There's a process. So you take the top of the egg off first, and what's in there is a bit of embryonic fluid.
Mm-hmm.
So you drink that.
That first, okay.
You drink that. Then you take a spoon, you scoop out the egg / fetus, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I don't know how you're supposed to. I ate it in a couple bites.
Okay.
It's pretty dense. I mean, imagine have you had it?
No.
Imagine a hard-boiled, it looks pretty intense.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a feather, you might see some beak.
There's a beak.
Well, they're all different stages. You don't know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And so the look of it, you gives you pause. The taste of it is, it's a cliche and a hacky joke, but it does taste like chicken.
Okay.
I mean, it tastes like a hard-boiled egg that is on its way to becoming chicken,
that
which is exactly what it
really
is.
Really good to me.
Yeah. So it's in between a hard-boiled egg and
chicken.
Just a lightly braised chicken.
But didn't someone's have a feather in it? So it's like a.
Mine did have a bit of a feather, but
and mine had a lot of bony crunch.
And is it boiled or steamed or?
That I don't. I think it's cooked inside a mother duck.
Okay.
In the uterus is where it's cooked.
Oh, okay, got
no,
it.
No, I don't know how it's actually cooked. It's
but
probably
I mean, is
boiled.
It flavored? Like, is it like? Does it take any kind of a skill to prepare it?
It didn't seem to have any. It wasn't like a spiced egg or
right,
something like
exactly.
that. No, it didn't. I don't think it had a lot
no
of
sauce.
There was no sauce.
Yeah. Okay.
They're like, this is enough.
This is a purist.
You have feathers and beak. We don't need to add sauces to this.
Yeah.
Let's not gild the lily.
And you know what? It wasn't too salty.
Good.
I would say I enjoyed the first couple bites, and then dinner kind of took on a frat boyish sheen as someone was insisting that we all kind of finish the eggs and lick it clean, and it became kind of a
dick measuring
contest. Someone named Veal Parmstrong, and unfortunately someone got sick at the table.
Beef Erickson.
And I got sick the next day. Actually, myself and Prawns both thought we had parasites, and I went to the doctor. And he gave me one of those cups to put my, waste in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Go there.
So someone puked.
We were so close to the end of this
someone
show.
Someone puked like little baby duck.
Yeah, we should actually wrap up because I've got about a 10-minute closing salvo.
I thought that one of the qualifications for being a culinaire was having a stomach of steel. Sounds like.
Oddly enough, that is one of the qualifications, and I don't have it. I'll be very honest. I have a very queasy stomach. I have a undiagnosed lactose-adjacent not intolerance, but maybe a prejudice. And I have a lot of dairy issues. So for me, just a trip to the coffee shop where they might put milk in my latte is a culinary, you know,
landmine.
Walking on the edge. So for me, everything with the culinaires, it's more dangerous for me. And that makes me the bravest culinaire of all.
Do you really have a closing salvo?
No.
Oh, I really believed him.
Well, this has been a great, I think, a fantastic inaugural culinaires show.
I mean, really.
Did you guys think so?
Yeah. Really. Not bad for the first go-around, eh?
We had a listener question.
We actually have a few listener questions. Maybe we have time for one.
I think you have time for one.
More?
Yeah,
look, okay, like all right, hold on. Let me scroll
real quick. Oh.
Is that the clock we're going by? Because that one is definitely... Okay. Yeah, that's it's almost 3 o'clock.
At least three minutes.
According to mine, we've got three.
No, that's all right,
well, hold
ticking.
On. Jackie ZB on Twitter is asking, what's going on with the culinaires reality show?
That's
what's
a great question.
Jackie, please.
You don't want to see these people.
Well, I would say, I don't think I'm at liberty to really say. I will say after Heather's first wonderful article, we were hit with a avalanche of reality show offers. And I'm actually not being facetious. And we met with a few. We entertained. We did the dance. We're busy people. We didn't quite find the right fit. But I think recently we may have found some producers that we like. So there might be a culinaires reality show coming soon if this radio show doesn't kill it first. But that's all I'm at liberty to say.
Well,
Jackie.
I think that there's definitely a demand for people listening to us eating Jollibee. And I can only assume that they'd want to see that happen also.
Agree.
Well, can I say something about that?
Please.
Well, I think one of the things that works about the culinaires is that...
one of the things?
Yeah.
One of the many things.
One of two things. Being that it's educational because you're always exploring new neighborhoods, new towns, new cities. You've traveled outside of LA, new dishes, and you always dive into what it is and the history, and then it's also really entertaining. And I think if you can do both of those things, people will watch it.
And also, is it more about, because you're culinary, so it makes me think, oh, that's all about exploring, and all your names are all explorers and stuff. Is it more about doing something outrageous and crazy, or is it more about the taste of things? Like, what's the ratio?
I think it's somewhere in between. I never think of it as outrageous and crazy. I think of it as we're friends and you push back the desk chair and you get away from the digital drag of the everyday humdrum to kind of find adventure, you know, right outside your door, go to the places that you might pass by driving on the way to work and are always kind of curious about. It's kind of about finding adventure without, dusting off the passport and hopping on a plane.
Yeah, and that's the amazing thing about LA is that you don't have to. There's so many awesome ethnic places here that are like hidden in an ugly strip mall that you'd be like, what? And then you're like, oh, this is awesome.
I think broadening your horizons. I think people, it's very easy to get into a routine and go to familiar places.
And that's why I'm kind of on Veal's side about the dinner choice tonight. I mean, I love Lhasa and I'm excited to go there, but you know, going to a place in Koreatown that I haven't been to before always makes me so excited. And I think we all kind of like want to do more of that. And I think that's what's great about the culinaires is always kind of trying something new and going outside of what you've done.
I think of it less as Veal side and Marco Pollo side. It's more, I was where we do the broadcast from Chinatown. I thought it would be easy. We could all park, walk across
Logistics.
The street, have a few drinks, as opposed to now things are a little more complicated.
When are you guys going to eat humans?
I think that's the ultimate experience.
People.
That's the last culinaire.
That's the last, the next, the final horizon.
Well, that's the season finale of the...
This has been a great show, guys. We actually do have a few more Twitter questions, but you know what? Our producer is saying we've got to cut.
She said 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. She said two.
2 minutes.
All right. Well, the last one. Hold on. This last one.
The music's playing. It's the end of the Oscars. Like, they're like, wrap up the speech.
From Nathan21 is asking, what makes you guys experts? Oh, Nathan. You know what? I'll tell you, I never thought of us as experts, as you might be able to tell by
to
my
right
mispronunciation of every single word in restaurant tonight.
We're aggressively not experts.
You know
what
we're
I have
to
a
say
bunch
to
of friends who just enjoy eating, and that's why, because we're laymen, that actually makes us more accessible and makes us a little different.
I never got to explain why Beef Erickson is my favorite. And that would be because
Oh, I thought it was a joke.
Oh, okay. Well, he seems the most sort of naive about every step of the way, about what he's eating, where we are. He's always sort of drunk and disoriented, and it's like the most fun, because when you're like that and you're equally like that and open to eating everything, it's really fun to watch.
And I just like to say that who is even Nathan 21? I mean, this guy's so paranoid about his age, he put 21 in his Twitter handle.
Maybe it's
so he could show the guy at the liquor
name.
Store.
Mm-hmm. We're gonna what do the kids call it? Dox him? Dose him? What are we gonna do?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
DDoS when you send SWAT teams to the house.
Let's stick to food, Duncan.
All right, guys. Well, I think this has been a really exciting culinaries. I want to thank my guests, Heather Platt.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. Brenda Shea, you're like a different person now that I know how to say your name. Brenda Shea.
No, oh my God.
And Marco, good job.
Hey, good job to you, Duncan.
I'll give you the last words inside the opening salvo.
Closing salvo.
I just point out that when we were at dinner before coming here, I said to Duncan, you know what would be a good idea so it's not too chaotic? Maybe you could kind of be the lead man on this thing and help direct it. You already had a whole thing prepared. You were already planning this.
No, this was all at the cuff.
All right. Good job, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks for the Jolly Bee.
I'm going to shut down the soundboard.
When we have a closing...